Sunday, I came in and I didn't know I was preaching today. Jane told me, and fear hit my thumb. Good grief, I can't. I need more than a week to prepare. So I thought, okay, what do I preach on? Well, my initial thing was fear. I think, oh, grief. It's as David said, it really is. It's not easy to do. So it's overcoming fear. I've prepared a sermon. I hope it helps people. This is out of my comfort zone, really is. Normally I'm here and be in the desk, as you know. But that's what God wants us to do, to push the boundaries and take us out of our comfort zone. You take Peter, when he was fishing, and he saw Jesus walking on the water. I got the two things. Matthew 14, verse 22. What did he do? He was fearful of the water. He was a fisherman. He knew what the water could do. Well, he had a fear of water, of drowning. He'd seen so many people drown. What did he do? He stepped out of the boat, and he walked. He sank, but he held Jesus up. But he did. He took that step. And I believe God is calling us to do the same, to get out of the boat, out of our comfort zones, to be what he wants us to be. He had respect and a fear of the water, as they say. He was a fisherman, he'd seen it. What are your fears this morning? We all got fears, different fears. Jesus is asking you to step out of the boat and meet him. No doubt the disciples had fears, many fears. They suffered beatings, stoning, being jailed, threats, and even crucifixion. They'd seen Jesus crucified. Horrific, but they still overcame their fears and they followed him. Stu phoned me on Friday and asked, did he want to speak? And I could have said no. I wanted to say no, I did. I was frightened, but I didn't want to stay in the boat. I believe I've been under spiritual warfare this week. I haven't slept for a week. I really, really struggled, but I knew I needed to bring this message to you. So to share this message. Okay. Fear, how to overcome it. There are so many fears that we can suffer from. When fear takes hold of your thinking, obstructing you in everyday life, remember, fear does not come from God. Can you repeat this? Fear does not come from God. Because it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Write this down, and whenever you feel fear, pick it up and read it. I often do. There's so many fears. I went through the list of fears that we could suffer from, and this is really surprising. Well, right. There's a fear of not fitting in. We've all suffered that, I suppose, throughout our life, different things. Fear of death, that's a big one, a biggie. Talking of fear of death, I lost my wife in 94. And after my wife, with repercussions, my sister-in-law said to me, she said, "Anything happens to you, I'll take care of my sons." Well, that hit me, really hit me. I thought, for months, I couldn't get over that. I think, well, you know, am I going to be okay? You know, because if just me left. That really hit me. There's a fear of not being able to have children. A fear of losing your job. A fear of illness. We've all suffered that. There's a fear of flying. There's a fear of holes, of all things. It's called trypophobia. A fear of public speaking, that's what I've got. It's called glossophobia. A fear of cancer. A fear of being alone. A fear of needles. Well, Sarah, no, that trypanophobia. Fears of commitment, glamophobia. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the darkness. And this one here, a fear of everything, is called panophobia. A fear of doctors, latrophobia. There are fear triggers, I believe. People can say something out of the, and it triggers a fear, you know. And I've got, because in my life I experienced that. And through the years, you know, people said something to me and I really triggered a fear. We all have fears. It's how we deal with them that counts. Do we dwell on them? I do, I'm afraid. They can be all consuming. But remember this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, a power of love, and a sound mind. Okay. I'd like to read Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I can't. It says, Where's it by? It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering of the gospel by the power of God. Fear is such a strong emotion and can stop us from fulfilling God's promises in our lives. Satan will use as a way of blocking what God wants for us. I've been fearful over different situations. I want to speak about Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat defeats Moab and Ammon. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Maonites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar." Now Jehoshaphat feared. It seemed the Lord had proclaimed, it seemed that they were defeated. But all the men of Judah, with all the men of Judah and their wives and children, he proclaimed a famine, a fast. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Behemiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matmiah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeril. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of God will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out at the head army singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir, destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laid on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, where they praised the Lord. This is why they call the valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem to the Lord and given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. As he said, he didn't fear. He called upon the Lord, which is what we must do. It's so easy to fear and just to be fearful. I'm going to call upon the Lord and give it to the Lord. All right. Don't give fear a foothold in your life. There are so many scriptures on overcoming fear. Psalm 46, 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Gideon, also named Jerubai, was a military leader, judge, and prophet, whose calling and victory over the Midianites. He was the son of Josh, who lived in Ephrah. When God commanded him to rescue the Israelites, he hid in the winepress to escape his enemies. Gideon suffered from fear, anxiety. He constantly tested God by asking to perform signs. First, he had God consume an offering he presented to an angel. Judges 6:20. If you could read that. It's Judges 6 and it's quoted as 20. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he explained, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Gideon was afraid, but when he finally put his trust in God and obeyed the Israelites, the Israelites were freed from 7 years of oppression. There will be moments in our lives when we're fearful of giving ourselves over to God. But the truth is, as we know, we can trust him with our tomorrows. Obedience does not require us to be fearless, but to follow God when fear creeps in. There's a book I've got here. It's Arthur Blessett. I don't know if I think Dave remembers Arthur Blessett. He was a guy that he was a pastor in America. And one day, the Lord said to him, there was a huge church, and there was a cross on the wall. And the Lord said to him, pick up the cross and carry it across America. And he thought, you can't carry the cross across America. So the Lord said twice, pick up the cross and carry it across America. He thought, okay, I'll do it. So I've got a book here. I've got, where's it going? Right. He thought, okay, I need to do this. But, I'll read this in a second. As he was going to carry the cross, he was struck down because, this is an amazing book, this amazing guy. Really amazing. Yeah, I say so in Cardiff, yeah. Right, this is a different book. I could hardly wait to go on my cross-country walk with the cross. But before I could take my first step, I received some bad news about my health, fear again. Lying in a hospital bed in Glendale Adventist Medical Center, I heard the doctor's grim prognosis. "Mr. Blessett, you need brain surgery immediately. You have an aneurysm in your brain, abnormal dilation of the blood vessel wall. A blood vessel blown out like a balloon. This is seeping blood, causing your problem." 4 times in 3 years, I'd experienced problems with my health. Sometimes I became numb on my right side of my body. This time, a stroke had landed me in hospital, leading to a battery of tests. "We need to operate immediately and repair those blood vessels," continued the doctor. "This is a very serious operation, and I should be okay in a couple of months. But I should also warn you, there's a possibility that you could die or be paralyzed during the operation." "What if I don't have the surgery?" I asked. "The blood vessels could burst at any time. If you just rest, don't get excited, don't preach, and don't lift heavy things, you may have from 6 months to 3 years to live. But the aneurysm must be repaired." There I was. On the one hand, the doctor said to operate. On the other hand, God told me to carry this cross. Should I obey the doctor or the call of God? I asked the doctor for some time to consider my options, and I returned home. I prayed and prayed before coming to a conclusion that would shape the rest of my life. What a change since Jesus called me to carry the cross. Only my circumstances were different. Right then, I concluded that I should not let circumstances alter the call of Jesus. The call of God is not conditional. I decided I would rather die in the will of God than live outside it. If I carried the cross, I'd be at peace whether I lived or died. But if I stayed home, and you would rot inside that mixture of doubt, fear, and the knowledge that I had refused the call of God. Faith and reason wrestled with my heart. Faith won. I would never look back. I had to contend with numbness in my body and on and off for years, but it hasn't kept me from the full in Jesus call to walk the cross. I decided to go. I wasn't foolish enough. I picked up the cross and I went. As writer Corrie Ten Boom wrote, never be afraid to trust an unknown failure as unknown future to a known God. I believe there are four principles to overcoming fear. One, acceptance. Before you can connect to your desires, you must accept where you are in this very moment. Two, let go. Faith can often have an undertone out of control. Breathe. Three, breathe in new possibilities. Four, connect to the power of God within you. See the world through God's eyes. I'll stop it there. I just want to, when I was baptized in Abergavenny, the following day I went to work. I thought, I don't feel any different. So I got in the car, I was driving the van, it was me and a guy in the van. And I have never experienced, every color was so vibrant, it was just unbelievable, it was like a painting. Everything was, and the smell, I was in a van with this guy, and the smell of flowers was so overpowering. I turned, I said, have you got perfume on? I don't see what he answered me. But the smell of flowers, it just, as if we had bunches and bunches of flowers in a cab. Unbelievable, you know. So that was my experience of, and those things, it was an amazing, amazing experience. Thought I'd share that with you. All right. So, there have been many people who've, been reluctant to serve God and just to say no. It was Moses, reluctant to leave Midian to answer God's call to free the Israelites. The 10 scouts who didn't trust God to lead them into the promised land. That's Numbers 13 to 14. Jonah, who ran away from God not to preach the people of Nineveh. Probably all of us have found ourselves in similar positions. I have. Being afraid to venture out of our comfort zones to answer God's call to serve. Fear takes many forms. Who may remember Karen Carpenter? Remember the group, the Carpenters? Carpenters? Well, there was Karen Carpenter. They were an amazing group. Well, she had everything. She had beautiful, rich, beautiful voice, famous. While recording in a studio, she caught a glimpse of herself on the TV screen. Something she didn't like. She thought she was overweight. And she wasn't. It was just a fear set into her. She believed, and everything, she just wouldn't believe that she was overweight. So she stopped eating virtually. She developed anorexia nervosa, eating disorder, which is characterized by abnormally low body weight, which resulted in her death in February 83 through heart failure. Due to the drugs she took to induce vomiting and cause to stop food reaching her stomach, or Procrascovia, as it's called, as Sarah would know this. She had fear, and fear took all of her life, and it killed her. She couldn't see that she wasn't overweight. So I know with so many fears attached, and this is really, really, fears are so, so strong in our lives, but we need to take hold of these fears, really do, and I can't tell this enough. Okay. We think of Job, a righteous man from the land of Uz, an upright man who praised the Lord. Who prompted Satan to suggest that Job only served God only because the Lord protected him. So God removed his protection and gave Satan permission to take his wealth, children, his health, but not his life. At this point, is Job 1:20-22, it is. But despite this, he doesn't curse God, but curses the day he was born. Even though his friends and his wife asked him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He answered, you are talking foolish, woman. Shall we accept only good from God and not trouble? As we know, God rewarded him greatly and made him prosperous once more. It's so easy for us to blame God when we fall upon bad times or feel fearful. But God has made this solemn promise. Hebrews 13:6, maybe that a second, says it. There it is. He says, write this down, please remember this. Never will I forsake you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The battle is not yours, but God's. I'd like to quote Billy Graham. Historians will recall that is a natural result. When our hopes are centered on anything short of God and his will for us, I want you to meditate on that. At its best, fear distracts us from a relationship with God. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Matthew 11:25. At its worst, fear is a crippling disease, taking our joy and plunging our hearts into darkness. Don't be anxious about anything. Philippians chapter 4. But in everything, your prayer and supplication, which means the action of asking for something, earnestly, honestly, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Apostle Paul uses the word ferrero, not the chocolate, to tell us that God's peace, if allowed to work in our lives, will stand at the gates of our hearts and minds, acting like a guard to control and monitor everything that tries to enter our hearts, minds, and emotions. Ferrero, meaning to guard or protect. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, commendable. If there's an excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and God of peace will be with you. The first step, of course, is a free mind. Give your life to Jesus. Once you've taken that step, it's important to fix your thoughts on Jesus and the promise that he's preparing a place for his followers in heaven. John 14:2-3. There are four keys to overcoming fear. 1, thank God for his love. Psalm 138:1-8. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards you, your holy temple. I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. You have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise with you, Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Once you've taken that step, it's important to fix your thoughts on Jesus and the promise. Oh, sorry, I've read that bit. Right. 1 John 4:7-21. Love is the antidote to fear. Perfect love drives out fear. The deepest root is condemnation. The feeling God is a cross, feeling of God is cross with you, but God sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Stand firm in the love of God. People who know their God are people of love. Love is not weak. People who really know God resist evil leaders. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man who knew God and firmly resisted Hitler, whilst praying, give me such love for God and men as will blot out all hatred and bitterness. Over the centuries, many people who have known their God have stood firm and resisted evil. For God loves you unconditionally, continually. Words of the late Alex Buchanan, described as the pastor of pastors. He was partially blind and suffered a stroke. He spoke about God's love. When he finished his talk, he said, "Do you believe in God approves of you?" Actually, people struggle with that because we know things about ourselves that mean it's difficult to God. It's difficult to believe God approves of me, but he does, unconditionally. I believe people are looking for love and acceptance. Their hearts are searching. When you really know God's love for you, your life is transformed. God's love is at the heart of each of the four keys to overcoming a healthy fear in your life. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There's a book David went to see. This is called The Heavenly Man. I can read it. He was a guy, a Chinese Christian. David went to see him in Cardiff. Amazingly humble guy. Humble guy. He was arrested for his faith, as the underground churches in China are illegal. He was taken to a prison, tortured, beaten, unbelievably, so what they did to stop him from actually escaping, they broke his legs with so many places, both legs, he couldn't walk, so he couldn't escape. So he thought, if somebody don't do something, I'm going to die here. I really am going to die here. So the Lord told him one day, you need to get out of here. You need to escape. So if I can read a short excerpt of what it was on radio. As soon as God told me, as soon as God told me that I need to get out, I thought, I need to escape. So I told the guard. He came to my door and he asked me what I wanted. I told him I need to go to the toilet right now. Because it was brother's used job to carry me around, I couldn't walk. The guard opened the door and ordered him to carry me to the bathroom. Whenever prisoners were allowed outside their cells, an iron gate in the corridor was locked, so there could be no chance of escape. A stairwell leading down to the floors below was on the other side of the gate. We were still completely closed in. The gate opened for people on the outside coming back in and could not be opened from the outside, from the inside. Each floor of the prison was protected by an iron gate. Normally, two guards were stationed on either side of every gate to make it the prison courtyard. So to make it to the prison courtyard, I would have to go through three iron gates on three floors and pass six armed guards. Brother Zhu came to my door. As soon as he saw me, he commanded, "You must escape." He then went back to his own cell and collected his toothbrush and towel so guards would think he was about to use the bathroom. When Brother Zhu returned, he said, solemnly ordered, "You must escape." I was only dressed in my underwear, so as quickly as I could, I pulled my trousers up. I had written scriptures from the Gospel of John and 1 Peter on a long piece of toilet paper, and I fashioned it to a belt of truth. Fastening the word of God around my waist, I prayed, "Lord, you show me that I must try to leave this prison. I will obey you now and will try to escape. But when the guards shoot me, please receive my soul into your heavenly dwelling." He thought he was going to die. There's no way to get out. It was now more than 6 weeks since my legs had been smashed. Even putting a little weight on them caused tremendous agony. But I believe God had told me in three different ways not to fear. I could do this. Through his word, through the vision I received that morning, and through Brother Zoom. I have learned that when the Lord tells us to do something, there's no time for discussion or rational, regardless of the situation we face. When we are sure God has told us to act, as I was on this occasion, blind obedience is called for. Not to obey God implies that we are wiser than him, and that we know better to run our lives than he does. It was just before 8 o'clock on the morning of the 5th of May, 1997, to the natural mind, this time of day was the worst possible time to escape. There was normally so much activity through the prison, with all the guards at their post. I shuffled out of my cell and walked towards the locked iron gate in the hallway. My mind was solely focused on obeying God. I looked straight ahead and prayed beneath my breath with every step I took. A guard who pushed the button when he wanted the gate to open and close at the top of the third floor stairwell. It was impossible to see the other side because the gate was made of iron and the small windows were covered in black cloth. At that exact moment, I reached the gate. Another servant of the Lord, Lord Meshech, was returning to his cell and the gate was open for him. That morning, he had been ordered to sweep the prison courtyard. As he passed me, I told him, "Don't close the gate." I walked through this even though breaking my stride. The Lord's timing was perfect. As we passed, Meshech asked in a whisper, "Are you leaving, Brother Yuan? Are you not afraid to die? You will surely die. They will kill you." Then with an astonished look, he returned to his cell. There had been a guard accompanying Meshech back to his cell. At that exact moment, he opened the gate for Meshech. A telephone rang in his office, and the guard ran to answer it. I noticed a broom leaning against the door in the stairwell. I picked it up and continued walking it down the stairs to the second floor. An armed guard was positioned at the desk facing the second iron gate. That gate was sometimes left open because an on-duty guard was assigned to watch the gate day and night. It wasn't considered a risk to leave it unlocked. At that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "And go now, the God of Peter is your God." Somehow the Lord seemed to blind that guard. He was staring directly at me. He didn't acknowledge me at all. I expected him to say something, just or shoot me even, as though I was invisible. He didn't say a word. I continued past him. He didn't look back. I knew I could be shot in the back at any moment. I continued to silently ask the Lord to be ready to receive my spirit. I thought I was dying. Thinking these moments were the last in this world, I continued walking down the stairs, but nobody stopped me. None of the guards said a word to me. When I arrived at the main gate leading out to the courtyard, I discovered it was already open. This was strange, as it was usually the most secure gate of all. There were normally two guards stationed at the first floor gate, one on the inside, one on the outside, but for some reason, neither of the guards was present at the foot of the open. I discarded the broom, ran the gates, and ran through, and nobody stopped me. The Lord just protected us, just left him out. He shouldn't even shot in the back, but he wasn't. So fears, we can't overcome fears. We really can't come over fears, you know. And I've got on my second year, I've got a prayer. If you'd like to repeat after me, I'll leave gaps for you to pray this prayer. I've got a prayer that I could, everything I could, like a, this helps me. This is a prayer. I love this. Right. Okay. Right. If you need to speak after me, I've got to leave gaps. It's called a prayer to conquer fear. Dear Father, I feel so small when I come to you. Your power cannot be measured. Your love cannot be contained. While I know this in my head, my heart often fails to remember. That's when I become afraid. Would you draw my focus away from despair? Would you help me recall your love in its place? Because your word promises that perfect love casts out fear. And I know no love more perfect than yours. You conquered sin. You conquered the grave. You conquered death. My fear is no match for the force of your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.